All right, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4 tonight. First John chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 7 through 11. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us first, or that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the time that you have given us, Lord. We ask that you would bless it. Father, I ask that you would guide our hearts and our thoughts. Father, teach us, Lord, the things we need to learn tonight. Remind us of the things we need to remember. Father, we just ask that your word would continue to be hidden in our heart. Father, obviously to be cultivated in our hearts to bring forth fruit in our lives that bears witness that we are the children of God. I pray, Father, you would continue to work in each of our lives, work in each of the lives of your people. Lord, continuing to conform us more into the image of Christ. Father, helping us to have a stronger desire to walk with you. Lord, stronger convictions to stand upon the truth and promises of your word, never wavering. I pray, Father, that we would continue to lean upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he is our rock. And I pray, Father, that you would continue, Lord, to fill our hearts with your peace that passeth all understanding in this world that we live in. We thank you, Father, that we are not of this world. We've been taken out of the world, but obviously this world's not our home, Father. We are just passing through, and we thank you, Father, for the future that we have with you, which gives us the hope and gives us the encouragement that we need to keep pressing on each and every day. Father, I ask that you would just bless our time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about remaining rooted in God's love, because we live in a world that is filled with bitterness, filled with hatred. And the Bible even says that evil communications will corrupt good manners. And we got to be careful that as God's people, we don't allow the world to rub off on us and cause us to lose the love of Christ. Because not only have we received the love of Christ, but obviously God wants the love of Christ to shine through us to others. He wants us to show others the love of Christ, but if we allow ourselves, we can get to a place where the love of Christ doesn't flow through us because of people doing us wrong, because of life not going the way that we want it to go. I mean, all kinds of things can happen in our life that can wear on us and cause us to just get to a place where we just skate by. We just try to make it each and every day, and we don't continue to grow in the love of God, and we can allow ourselves to fall back and get to a place where we start becoming bitter, and we start getting to a place where we start hating people. We wouldn't say we hate them, but if we don't show them the love of Christ, if we don't do loving things for them, if we don't minister and serve people in the church, outside the church, we can get to that place. And God wants us to stay alive in his love and allow his love to be refreshed in us continually. I want you to look with me at verses 7 and 8, because I want us to just look at God's love and how God defines his love. And we're all familiar with it, but again, I just know that we live in a world that, again, like I said, is full of hatred. It's full of people against people, people doing wrong towards people, even in the church house. And praise the Lord, we haven't had any issues in our church, but I've been a part of churches, and maybe you have as well, where There's been turmoil in the church. There's been church members against church members, and you could just feel the tension when they're in the room. And obviously, God doesn't want us to be like that, and we have to remain rooted in God's love, because God's love is full of grace. It's full of forgiveness, right? It's full of second chances, and we thank the Lord for it. We look at verse 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter 4. We look at how God defines his love. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I mean, verse number 8 plainly states that if we do not love people with a genuine, heartfelt, Christ-centered love, we don't even know God. Now, I've known of people who, again, who have held bitterness in their hearts towards somebody else. They haven't been kind. I mean, they just would talk bad about other people but say, "Oh, but I love God." And the Bible's very clear. God's very clear. If we don't love other people unconditionally, sacrificially, then it's not truly a love. You know, we live in a society where people love what others can do for them. I mean, a lot of relationships are built on false love. It's built on a love of what you can do for me, and a lot of relationships break up. People go their separate ways because the other person in their eyes stopped loving them, stopped doing for them what they thought, what they wanted. But love is not what I get. Love is what I give. And when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved much. God obviously is love, and God shows us the love through the sacrifice of his son and the fact that God loved us first. Now, when you think about verses 7, and you look, well, actually verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Obviously, God is the originator of love. No one can love without God. Now, remember Jesus said, and I didn't even think to put this reference in here, but remember Jesus talked about even the sinners, even the lost people, they know how to love their own. You know, a lost father will give his son what he needs and so forth. But there's a true love that only comes from Christ. Because again, everybody, I'll say everybody, most people, again, have motives behind what they do for somebody. They want something. But the only motivation God had for his love is that we wouldn't die in our sins. That's a wonderful love. That is a sacrificial, unconditional love. But again, we understand that love originated from God. No one can truly love without God giving them that ability. And he's given us that ability. Now, people strive to attain love, and we achieve what we believe to be love. We attempt to maintain it. But God's love was never attained by him. It is the structure of his being. It's who he is. He didn't become loving. We have to become loving. Because you know what? Every child of God has the Holy Spirit in them, and the Holy Spirit is cultivating his fruit of love. Now, again, before salvation, every single person loves selfishly. They love to get. And God teaches us how to be loving, but no one taught God how to be loving. That's his nature. That's who he is. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Again, don't lose me tonight, because I know that you know that God is love, but listen, there may be some people that you think and I think that we love and we truly don't. We tolerate. We tolerate under the guise of love. But God wants us to truly love. I mean, again, when you read Scripture, Scripture is what God's given us to show us true life examples. And you think about Paul. What would cause a man to be dragged out of the city, stoned, left for dead, and when he regains consciousness, to get up and go back in the city and not leave the next day? Someone may say pride, arrogance, stubbornness. I mean, people all have their opinions, but again, when you study the life of Paul in Scripture, you understand he has a love for people. And he wasn't about to allow himself to be ran out of town without first fulfilling the Father's will in showing the love of Christ in that town. Because again, honestly, the human nature is when you're done wrong. And the fact is, the Bible's full of extremes, okay? None of us in here, as far as I know, have been dragged out of a house or a city and stoned by people that hated us. Now, at times we felt like it, you know. We have felt like someone has stabbed us in the back. You know, we use different expressions to let people know how someone's done us and how it hurt. Maybe, but to me, that really is the love of Christ in a believer's heart and life, is that they're willing to go back into the city that just dragged them out and was trying to kill them. Even in the jail at Philippi, where Paul, you know, he tells the Philippian jailer to do himself no harm. Don't commit suicide. We're all here. I mean, just everywhere Paul would go, he just showed the love of Christ. And again, that's because the love of Christ was flowing richly in his heart. I mean, he had surrendered himself to the fact that, you know what? We're in a world, we're in a society that's anti-Christ, that's anti-Bible, where we're just living in a world where we have been done wrong. And honestly, if we think about our life even before salvation, of those that have done us wrong, before salvation, we would think about how to get revenge, how to get even, how to make the other person feel like I'm feeling. But when you have the love of Christ flowing richly in your heart, you don't have those thoughts anymore. Because you understand, just as Jesus said on the cross, of those that had crucified him, those that were spitting and cursing him and mocking him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even though we could say they knew exactly what they were doing, but honestly, they did not spiritually understand. They didn't understand that the one hanging on the cross was the only one that could give them life, was the only one that could change their life for better and to forgive them of their sins. Again, when you look at verse 7, I kind of went backwards here, but look at verse 7, all right? Verse 8 talks about, obviously, God being the originator of love, for God is love. Verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So God orchestrates love. He helps us to be able to love people. Godly love only comes through God's Spirit at work in us. Obviously, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." All right, a godly love, a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, a love that is truly looking out for the best interest of the other person, not looking for something in return, all right? But truly giving of ourselves, because God gave his only begotten Son. Jesus gave his life willingly. True love can only be present in our lives when we are rooted in Jesus Christ. True love can only be present in our lives when we are rooted in Jesus Christ. And we'll get to it, because again, it's not just loving people, but what comes along with truly loving somebody? Forgiving them, not holding on to grudges, not keeping a track record or a tally sheet of all the wrongs that they've done or what they haven't done that I want them to do, but it's totally overlooking their faults, overlooking their failures, overlooking what they've done, and truly seeing what they need is the love of Christ in their life. Now, is it something we humanly want to do? No. Because the flesh is still flesh. The flesh is still sinful. But the more we give in to Christ, the more we allow the love of Christ to dwell in our hearts, and we continue to remain growing and being rooted in the love of Christ, we are able to truly love others unconditionally and sacrificially. In Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Again, the Bible does tell us not to quench the Holy Spirit, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit not only has been given to us as a comforter and a guide, but He has a ministry in our life, and that is to cultivate his fruit in our hearts to produce that fruit in our life, that fruit of love, to be able to love others that are unlovable. Again, it is all about, again, God predestinated us to be conformed into the image of Christ, and this is part of it, and that is having his love filling our hearts and being poured out of our life so others are affected by it, so others truly see a genuine godly love. And again, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. The flesh doesn't always want to. Again, I cannot imagine I can't imagine what Paul must have been feeling or thinking, but if I were to put my place in Paul's shoes, laying there on the ground, bleeding from being stoned and left for dead, I'll be honest, without God helping me, it would have been hard for me to go back in that city. Because I would be thinking, they don't want it. You know what? I'm not going to put myself in that position again. But when you have the love of Christ flowing through you, when your heart is filled with the love of Christ, I mean, when you remember, you know what? And I'll be honest, it's easy to say because I'm not Paul. But I know this. I know of things in my life, and you probably know of things in your life that you've had to endure. And God's helped you to endure with love. But when you think about, again, God has to help us. God has to help us to truly have that love that flows within us, because as we remember, whatever I am receiving at the hands of somebody or at the mouth of somebody that's not right, it really is child's play. It's candy compared to what I deserve. And that's a place called hell that he has saved me from because of his love. And the Bible even already tells us, God even tells us that we're going to suffer persecution. Now, we don't often, you know, equate persecution with, you know, someone being mean to us or someone, you know, being nasty to us for our faith. But again, we have to remind ourselves as well that though God is love, the devil is not. And he wants us to harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred towards those that may be doing us wrong, those that disagree with us. Because I think we all would agree, it's easy to love those that love you. It's easy to love those that are on your side and love you and always do right for you. But that's not, God's called us to love the unlovable. He's called us to love our enemies. That's why Jesus even said, your enemy hungers, give him food. But what do? And I say we as in, you know, not just those in this room, but we as in a body of believers, as Christians, even as people, we normally pray, Lord, give them what they need, because I don't have it, and I don't want to give it. They need to get what they deserve. But again, if we think about what we truly deserve, it does cause us and should cause us to think twice and to really think, wow, I have received the love of Christ that I do not deserve, and I want to share that with others as well. Again, Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit of God given to us freely at salvation. The more deeply we become rooted in Christ, the more the Holy Spirit works God's love in us. The more deeply we are rooted in Christ, the more the Holy Spirit works God's love in us. And God encourages us to show his love to others by being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. By being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. The Bible tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that's one of the keys for us, is always remembering we've been forgiven much. We've been forgiven because of the love of Christ. And God wants us to remain rooted in his love so that we can genuinely show the love of Christ to others. They can genuinely see it in us. They can hear it in our speech when we talk to them. They see it in our actions. Because again, even Jesus said, how will they know that you're my disciples except you love one another? But I know that there are God's people that fuss and fight over things. And again, I thank the Lord it's not here. All right? It's not here, but I've been a part of, again, churches where it has been, where people voice their opinion, and it's just their opinion, and it causes strife. But again, the Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. When you have the love of Christ flowing through you and you are rooted in the love of Christ and you remind yourself of the love of Christ that you have received and I have received, it helps us to be able to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving those that we don't think need to be forgiven, but we remind ourselves what God says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Look at 1 John chapter 4. If you're still there, or if you turn, go back to 1 John chapter 4 and think about what verse 7 says again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Again, God is the source. He's the spring source of our love, and his word tells us that we are to love, and everyone that loves is born of God. He gives us that ability. You know what? If there's somebody that you have a hard time loving, you tolerate them, you like them, but you know for a fact you don't really have a genuine Christ-like love for them, pray and ask the Lord to help you. Pray and ask the Lord to help you. I'll be honest, I've had to do that in my lifetime as a Christian. And the best way to do it is to pray for that person, not against them, but to pray blessings on them. Ask the Lord to bless them. Because again, the human tendency is to ask the Lord to give them what they deserve. Lord, you know what they've done. Lord, you know that they have a wicked heart. Lord, you deal with them. But you know what? When you have the love of Christ and you want the love of Christ to flow through you and you ask the Lord to bless your enemy and you pray genuinely for them, guess what? It does help our hearts to start to have a love for them. We start to see them through the eyes of compassion. We start to see them through the eyes of Christ who had compassion on those that he looked at. I want you to look at verse 9 and 10. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, why are you talking about this tonight? Because it really does lack in the churches. It lacks in our community. And we know, we can look at our community, we can look at the news, we know that true, genuine, Christ-like love lacks, but it shouldn't lack in the church house. It shouldn't lack among God's people. It shouldn't lack in our families. This Christ-like, genuine love that we have been loved with, that helps us to forgive and helps us to be gracious and helps us to overlook someone's shortcoming, knowing that they are growing in the Lord just as I'm growing in the Lord. And everyone grows at different rates. I mean, all my kids are not the same height. They're not the same ages. I mean, they're all growing. And don't expect them to be the same. And God expects us to grow. He wants us to grow. And we can always see those that we think may not be growing. Again, that's where the love of Christ, even in our hearts, helps us. You know what? When we see another brother or sister in Christ that's struggling, that love that is on the inside, the Christ-like love, helps us to, you know what, see their need and pray for them. Pray that God would help them and even come alongside and even try to be a mentor, try to be someone that helps them and encourages them. Because I can even say this, that when you're rooted in the love of Christ, you love the things of God. You love the things of God. You love going to church. You love his word. You love praying. You love God's people. You love giving to the work of God, the different ministries that that God has. You love the things of God, but what happens when our love is stolen away by the things of this world? Unfortunately, Paul had a friend that traveled with him, a friend that got to a point where Paul at one point says, he is profitable, he's a companion, he's someone who's gonna help you and do what's right. And then later on he's saying, well, he's departed having loved this present world. I think it was Demas. Demas had left him. He said, left having loved this present world. The love of this world had kind of taken over his life. And he stopped loving the things of God. And we've got to be careful that our love for Christ is not stolen away. That we don't allow something else to take precedence in our life that causes us to love it more. Especially we see the day approaching, as we see the return of Christ getting closer and closer. Truly, our love should grow stronger and stronger as we're about to see the one who loved us and loves us so much. They laid down his life for us, and that he walks with us and talks with us. Again, we got to be careful that we don't allow this world to have our love, but our love is devoted and is faithful to our Savior. You look at verse 9 and 10. Bible says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." So God gave his most valuable, most precious, most beloved Son to a world that would hate and crucify him, so that we might live through him. Verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So we just see God displaying his love in these verses. God displayed his love for the world. Again, God doesn't always give us what we want. Just like good parents don't always give kids what they want, give their children what they want, because they know what's good for them and what's not good for them, what will harm them, what will help them. And God gave his only begotten Son. He gave the best. It was a manifestation of his love. And truly, when we have that type of love in our hearts, when our hearts are rooted in the love of Christ, we give our best. We give our best to the Lord. And everything that is connected to God, we view it as God's. It belongs to the Lord. I'll just be honest, and I'm not trying to be mean, but when you give something to the house of God, when you donate something to the church, it should be something that is, I'm going to say, brand new. Something that is good. Something that works. Not something that's broken. I've had people give things to the church. To the churches, I'll say both of them. Both that I've pastored at. They've given things that were broken. And, well, I thought maybe the church could have it. Maybe you could get it fixed. But when you look in the Old Testament, people's hearts were moved by God to give of the best that they had to the work of God, to the building of the temple, supplying to the priests and stuff. Because listen, when your heart is filled with the love of Christ, you want to give your best to the Lord. You want to do your best. And God blesses that. God blesses that, because truly it shows. Because, let's be honest. Again, I'm not trying to pick on people, but let's be honest, if someone came to you and gave you something that was broken, something that was unusable, honestly, we wouldn't be too thrilled about it. We would graciously say thank you, but we would, honestly, in our minds, we'd be thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't use it. But listen, when you love, because he said that phrase that I don't even remember where I heard it from or read it from, but you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. There are people that you love that you give good things to. There are some grandparents in this room. What do you give to your grandchildren? The best that you can give them, right? And that's what we are to give to the Lord. It shows our love for God. It shows our love, and it shows our love to others as well as you give to others. Whether it's something tangible, whether it's, you know, you're giving them forgiveness, you know, you're showing them the love of Christ, all right? What's in your heart is going to come out of your lips, and it's going to come out in your actions, what truly is in your heart. You know what, I don't even know if I wrote this verse down. It might be in this chapter right here. Verse 20, look down at verse 20. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 20. Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So understand, when you have the genuine love of Christ in your heart, that true, genuine, sacrificial, unconditional love is going to flow out in your actions. It's going to flow out in your speech because it's in your heart. See, Jesus even told us that whatever was in the heart, it was going to come out. It would be manifested on the outside. If any man say I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Again, having God's love being displayed in our life, and even God displayed it as well in verse 9. And this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Again, we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And again, because he loved the world, he manifested his love through Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the whole world. Again, not just for those that he knew will believe on him, but for every single person. Even those that curse his name, even those that will not believe on him, he died for every single person. That is love. That's true love. That's true love, true unconditional sacrificial love. God displayed his love by sacrificially giving, and he wants us to love as he loves, and he loves through forgiveness. Look at Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You talk about love, humans have a hard time loving like that, completely forgetting what someone has done, and someone has asked for that forgiveness, we can remember it. We can remember what someone did. Because you know what? Even if you forget, when you see that person, you remember. But the difference, though, you think about it, how do you feel when you see the person who did you wrong? Do you still have the feelings of resentment towards that person, or is a feeling of I've already forgiven them. There's no resentment towards them. In fact, they're in the Father's hand. Because you know what? We're told to live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within us. Doesn't mean that everyone is going to, you know, receive our love or receive our forgiveness, but we're still supposed to show them love and show them forgiveness and allow the Heavenly Father to deal with their hearts. Again, love. God's love is truly forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers it no more. Look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His love is faithful. And God wants our love to be faithful. And our love will be tried. It'll be tested. Again, the devil's always trying to find a way to put a wedge in between brothers and sisters in Christ. He's always trying to put that wedge. He's always trying to isolate. He's always trying to, you know, help somebody leave, help someone get, you know, mad. Like you and I cannot control how someone responds, how somebody reacts. But we can control how we respond and how we react and how we love. And God wants us to. When we are truly surrendered to Christ, we're truly allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, and we are being rooted in the love of Christ, we can. We can absolutely love the unlovable, love those who are doing us wrong, because it's the love of Christ. And we remember how much we have been forgiven. We remember how much God loves us and forgives us as well. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I want to look at verses 35 through 39 because we're thankful for the love of God that is faithful. He's faithful. And Paul testifies of the love of God and how faithful the love of God is when he writes to the believers at Rome. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He's talking to believers. He's talking to those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who was sent because God so loved the world. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Shall any hardship separate us from the love of Christ?" And we know it won't, because we have Christ dwelling in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We know that God is love, and he does love his children. He goes on to say, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Again, being done wrong, being hated by people. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We're thankful for the faithfulness of God's love. And God wants us to be faithful at loving others. He wants us to be faithful at showing the love of Christ to others, as God is faithful in his love for us. And again, we can't do it alone. We can't do it outside of the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it outside of being surrendered and rooted in the love of Christ. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Now, it may seem like a very simple subject tonight, but we're tested on this subject often. Our love for people is tried often. The devil doesn't want us to show the world the love of Christ. He doesn't want us to be loving towards others and forgiving towards others. He doesn't want people to see the love of Christ in us. So how do we develop this? How do we keep rooted in the love of Christ? Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And listen, to love somebody does not mean you have to agree with them. Doesn't mean that you have to compromise your stand. Because Jesus never compromised. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus answers someone who asks him, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So the first thing that you and I can do to continue to allow God's love to be developed in us is for us to be devoted to loving him. And I want you to notice what Jesus says. Again, there are things in life that we love. Kids love getting new toys. But within a matter of a day or two, sometimes even shorter, it's old news. They no longer love it. They no longer play with it. And there are things in adult lives as well where we love for a time, but then we get tired of it. I want you to notice what Jesus says about our love for our Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a devoted love. So that's not allowing any other idols to have a position or a place in our hearts. And that includes recreation. That includes the things of this world. Remember, Revelation, Jesus rebukes a church for having left their first love. The Lord thy God, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Because you know what? When you love God with all your heart, then you're able to love others also. You're able to love your enemies. You're able to love those that do you wrong. Because you love God, and it's, again, it's the love of God in us. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Again, I don't believe there's a single person that loves another person with that much love. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. God wants complete devotedness. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not supposed to love my wife or my children, but I think you understand that when you love God that much, then you're able to love others just as much. You're able to truly love and forgive and to give. But God comes first. There are many that put family above God. And unfortunately, I have examples of families that put their families above God and they're no longer together. Kids are a mess. Kids are in the world. The parents are divorced because they didn't put God first. They put their family first. Now, family's important, and God's blessed us with families, but the first thing he blessed us with is a relationship with him, our life. I mean, he created Adam first, then gave him a wife, then gave him kids. So we can't properly love anybody else without our love being devoted to God completely. Now, God develops his love in us as we continue to spend time seeking him and walking with him. I mean, the closer we get to the Lord, the more time we spend with him. And truly, we should. I mean, as we see the day approaching, as we see the return of Christ getting closer and closer, it should really compel us to spend more time with the Lord, to get closer to the Lord, so the Lord continues to work in our life and we continue to become more vessels of honor, servants of the Lord, filled with the love of Christ. So you know what? We can be like Paul. I mean, think about Paul. I mean, again, I love Paul. And when you look at Paul's life in Scripture, what's been revealed to us, the only way he was able to endure everything he did, complete the mission trips God gave him to complete, and to be able to say, as he wrote to Timothy, I've finished my course. He's saying, I remained faithful. The only way he could have done all of that while enduring the beatings, the shipwrecks, the snake bites, I mean, everything he endured for the cause of Christ was because of the love of Christ in his heart that helped him to see people through the eyes of Christ. It's the only way he could be able to finish his course. The only way he could get to the end without any regrets. It's not that life wasn't hard at times, but he got to the end without any regrets. I finished my course. I finished what God told me to do, had me to do, because his love for Christ stayed fresh. And he remembered that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. Some people will allow themselves to believe the lie when things go wrong in their life and it gets a little hard that, well, God doesn't love me. Because the devil will come along and say, well, if God loved you, he wouldn't be allowing this to happen. If God loved you, he would be providing a lot more for you. God provides exactly what we need when we need it. Then we've got to stop listening to the lies of the devil. I know there are young people, not in here, there are young people who are believing the lies that God doesn't love them, that they'd be better off dead. And that's just not true, because if God didn't love them, he would not have given them a life to live, to come to a place, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for them. The manifestation of God's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. And Jesus even went on to say that, you know, some people, you know, are willing, they're willing to lay down their life for somebody else. No doubt a loving parent will do everything they can to save their child. But Jesus Christ, having a greater love, laying down his life for the sins of the world so that people don't have to face the wrath of God, so people don't have to face the torments of hell. I mean, that's a love. That's a love that God wants to develop in us and for us to remain rooted in, that unconditional love, that sacrificial love that is always looking out for the better interest of the other person, because we realize that God has blessed us tremendously. Very quickly, look at, if you're still in Mark chapter 12, look at verse 31. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. Again, we must continue to love God completely, faithfully, wholeheartedly, as Jesus said in verses 29 and 30. And then 31, he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. No other commandment greater than these two that Jesus mentions. And that is, obviously, loving God with your entire being, every ounce of you, every fiber of you, loving God. Because when you love God completely, like he says in verse 29 and 30, then we're able to love our neighbors. Then we're able to fulfill what Jesus says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift, and here is what I want us to think about in this verse I'm about to read, is sometimes God will bring to your mind somebody that has an issue with you, someone who has aught against you, as he says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So it's not God, if God brings to our mind somebody that is upset with us, someone that has an issue with us, the human thing is to brush it off and think, well, that's their problem. But God says, go and make it right as much as you can. Again, living peaceably with all men as much as lies within you. It says, go and make it right with your brother. Go and try to reconcile your brother. Go and try and smooth it out before you continue to offer your gift unto God. Before, again, whatever that may be, you know, whatever you're going to do something for the Lord, and God says, well, you need to first, you know, get this right. Try to rectify this issue with this person. All right? Love, that's loving others. Again, the world standards is just, you know, all for self, and, you know, if someone has a problem, oh well. But God says no, especially if it's a brother in Christ, a brother or sister in Christ. God doesn't want any divisions in his family, just like a parent doesn't want division among their kids. No, we parents, you know, loving godly parents, even loving parents, teach their kids to love one another and to respect one another and to, you know, share with one another, right? That's what God wants us to do as well among ourselves. We must love one another. And last thing, we must express his love. Go to Romans chapter 1. Last two verses here are scripture references, I guess. So in order to allow God's love to continue to develop in us, we must love God first, above anything, and not just, you know, again, taking the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ really tells us we need to love God also unconditionally and sacrificially. God must be number one. Again, that's why he rebuked the church in Revelation that they had left their first love. Because you know what? When a child of God, when a Christian, a born-again believer, leaves their first love, when God stops being number one in their life, when Jesus stops being preeminent in a child of God's life, again, they will stop loving the things of God. They'll slowly get worse and worse and worse. In fact, I mean, I hate that there's examples, but I have an example of somebody who was very faithful in a church, very faithful, believed, I mean, cried that God wanted him to be a missionary in Alaska, but he didn't know what to do because of his daughter living between two homes. He said, well, God will take care of that. When God's ready for you to go on the mission field, all that will be taken care of. I mean, just faithful. But then something happened. Something happened. Church services started to dwindle. Church services started being cut out after tithing was cut out. Because tithing and giving of our offerings, it's tied to loving God. And when we stop giving to the Lord, our love is becoming cold. Now, again, I praise the Lord for his grace and his mercy. But listen, if we stop loving God first, everything's going to crumble after that. And God wants us, obviously, to be effective in our witness to others. And that's why you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. Not only must we love God, and we must love others, but we must express his love to others. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. What does Paul owe the Greeks and the barbarians? What did they do for him that he feels like he's indebted to them? They did nothing for him. But he feels he's a debtor to them for what Christ has done for him. Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Because of the love of Christ that was shown to Paul, remember again, what was Paul before he became a great missionary, before he became what he's called as the apostle to the Gentiles? Because God loved him so much, Jesus Christ stopped him on the road to Damascus and gave him an opportunity to turn his life around and follow Christ, the one he was persecuting by persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, I'm a debtor. I owe my life to these people. And that's truly, when we love God first, when God is first in our life and we are properly loving God, as Jesus said back in Mark 12, with our entire life, our entire being, and we're loving others, we realize that, you know what? We owe the world. We owe those around us because of the love of Christ that's been shown to us. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, again, as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Again, the love of Christ reminds us of what God's done for us, reminds us of what Jesus did for us, leaving his throne to come down to this earth, obviously to live that sinless life and to die on the cross for our sins so that we would experience the love of God in our life through salvation. So when you think about, again, we're living in the world. That's why it's important that we be careful of what we allow into our life. News media, music, TV shows, books, magazines, things that we view, listen to, because those things, if they're of the world, will cause our love for God to wane. It'll cause our love for God to become cold, because those things will take root in our hearts, and it'll become those things, as Jesus talks about, those are the things that will grow up and choke out the word of God. Again, that's why Paul had to, with a sad heart, write in his letter that Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. God wants us to love him. And again, it's staying close to him. And it's not for us to judge other people. It's not for us to look at other people that, you know, miss out on church and stuff. It's to pray for them. But it's for us individually. It's for us to take inventory of our own personal life and our own personal love. Am I really devoted to the Lord? Does the Lord have my complete devotion? And does it show? Because if he does, it's going to show in my life. It's going to show in my actions. It's going to show in my speech. And I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I see plenty of room for improvement in my life. Because there's not a single person who has really arrived. We have to remain rooted in Christ's love, but we've got to continue growing in Christ's love as well. So God is so good. We love the fact that he loves us. And the fact that, you know what, he does wonderful things for us. Every one of us experiences the blessings of God, and we're thankful for it. And God wants us, again, to share that love to others. So have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for